You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Ginger Rutland has adapted a play from her mother Eva's legendary memoir titled When We Were Colored, A Mother's Story. Like the book, the play tells the story of this middle-class black woman born and raised in the segregated South before World War II. And then after the war, she moves west to raise her children in California, Sacramento in particular, which is integrated. Eva passed away in 2012, 2 months after turning 95. Ginger is joining us today to remember her mom. And later in the program, we're going to focus on the play, which opens this Friday at Pioneer Congregational Church in Sacramento. Hi, Ginger. It's great to have you back on Insight.
And it's wonderful to be here.
I told you that we're going to hear your mom's voice today. And I think 3 years is still a fresh period of time to be aware of her absence.
Yes, it is. She was a great mom. A great mom.
At what point did you decide to write a play from her book?
I go to the theater a lot in Ashland, and I see a lot of plays, and they're black plays, and they're always sad. You know, sad, bad things happen to us. We go into slavery, and there's this Jim Crow South, and there's discrimination and all. And my mother wrote a book that was a happy book about being black. I mean, she wrote a book that really, I mean, it talks about discrimination, but it also says there's a lot of joy. There was a lot of fun in being black. And I wanted to tell her story and let people know it ain't all suffering.
She first published this in 1964, but it was really written in the 50s, in the early 60s.
It was written in the late 40s, early 50s. My mother always wrote. She wrote magazine articles, and they were published in Ladies' Home Journal, in Red Book Magazine, in several other leading ladies' publications of the day, which was pretty unusual for a black woman. And she compiled all of those into this book, which was originally entitled The Trouble with Being a Mama. When my father died in 2005, my assignment at his funeral was to read a portion of the book, the portion called The Trouble with Papa, at his funeral. And everybody in the place, and it was a huge turnout for my dad's memorial, everybody wanted the book, but it had been out of print for many, many years. Mm. So I republished it. I changed the title because I thought The Trouble with Being a Mama was boring. And I liked When We Were Colored because I thought it was evocative of the era that she was writing about. That was the polite phrase for black folks, was colored.
You and your mom were here in the studio in 2007. Jeffrey Callison was the host of the program then. And I checked with you to be sure that this was okay, that we're going to hear a little bit about your mom. Do you want to explain that she had a trach about her speaking pattern?
Yeah, my mother, which nobody knows, but my mother breathed through a tracheotomy tube from before I was born. I never knew her without it. It had to do with a sort of a botched surgery at a segregated hospital in Georgia, you know, in 1947. And so she, in order to live, she had to have a trach, and she breathed through this old metal trach, which she disguised with jewelry and scarves and things like that. But I never knew her without it. But it gives her voice a sort of different sound.
Jeffrey had asked her who she wrote the book for, and she said she was writing for white mothers. She wanted them to know that black mothers and white mothers love their children the same, and that children from either parent were just as good. Mm-hmm. And she said that she sometimes had difficulty conveying that to white mothers. So he said, then who were you writing for and why?
Well, we had a problem. Being colored was different. And it really wasn't any different. I wanted white mothers to know that our children were just as precious as theirs. Just as good, too.
Now, at that time, were you friends with many white mothers?
Oh, yes. When I wrote, I have always been friends with white and black because of the peculiar neighborhood I lived in when I was a little girl, even in Atlanta. My grandfather had been a slave, and I lived in a house he built soon after the Civil War. There were lots of rich Jews who lived around it. And then, during the Depression, the neighborhood had deteriorated. A lot of poor people had moved in. Three or four white families occupied the big houses near me. And there were very few colored families that lived around me. And, well, I just got associated with everybody.
This was your first book, but it had a different title when it came, when you first wrote it. What was the title then?
The Trouble with Being a Mama, which is the title I like. But my Ginger, she liked being colored. So that's why we changed it.
She liked being colored. Can you talk?
Oh, I just thought The Trouble with Being a Mama was boring. And I thought When We Were Colored would be more provocative as a title. And that was why I changed it. And my mother didn't like it. My daughter didn't like it. My siblings didn't like the change. But I think it's a more interesting title myself.
I paused there. I was watching your face. I didn't know if you were lacing up some emotion. It's like she's right here in the room with us, isn't it?
It was interesting listening to her voice. I haven't heard it in quite some time. What it's remarkable to me about my mother is how sharp she remained to the end. And, you know, beyond the trach, people may or may not know, my mother was blind. My mother was blind not when I was a child. When I was in college, she started going blind. And by the time I was in my mid-20s, she was completely blind. And her writing career actually took off after she went blind. That's when she began. She'd already written this memoir, but she started writing Harlequin romance novels. Mm-hmm. And she loved it. She wrote about 20 Harlequin romances.
She received awards for her writing, too. She said she loved that boy meets girl story.
She did. And it was always, there's always some sort of problem, but they end up together and happy, and there's always, and they lived happily ever after. That was my mother's, that's what she loved to write. She didn't like, murder mysteries or anything. She liked romance. And she wrote one romance called No Crystal Stair, which is actually based on her own life. And that was interesting. There's the main character, Anne Elizabeth Carter, has just graduated from Spelman, the Black Woman's College, and she's supposed to marry this black doctor in Atlanta and live this sort of fancy schmancy life. But instead, she meets Robert Metcalf, a Tuskegee Airman, one of the first black pilots who were trained during World War II. And he sweeps her off her feet. They go to California, where they live this integrated life. They have a daughter named, I've forgotten the daughter's name in the book, but she becomes a black radical with a big afro. That was me. Who ends up marrying a white guy at the end.
You're listening to Ginger Rutland. She's written a play titled When We Were Colored. It's based on the memoir of the same title written by her late mom, Eva. And we're listening to some clips from a conversation that the past host of Insight, Jeffrey Callison, had with Ginger and her mother in 2007. Jeffrey asked her about that word colored and what word she uses to describe herself.
Oh, colored? I don't care. That the word doesn't matter. I just think that all people are alike, and all of these differences that we make don't make us really different. And I just like that. That's the reason I wanted it to be a mama, because all mamas have the same problem.
He asked her about moving to Sacramento from Atlanta, where she had grown up.
I loved Atlanta because it was where I grew up. But I think when I got to Sacramento, I liked it better than anywhere else we had been. We had lived in Ohio, and I loved the look of Sacramento. It was such a nice, peaceful country town. It's not that today, but it was when we came, it was a lovely, lovely town. I loved it with the fruit trees all around. And so many different people, so many different nationalities, and it was a different place from Atlanta, but it was, I guess I liked it a little better than any other place other than Atlanta.
She's so gracious. She is. There's a story in the news today about the discovery of a very early recording of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech.
Uh-huh.
And a scholar who just worked and worked at this. In writing this play, did you go back through any family history and find out anything that was different from what you knew or what was in this book?
You know, I actually did a lot. I talked to my mother a lot about her history, and I learned a lot. I learned about her grandfather, who was, his name was Isaac Westmoreland, and he was born a slave. He had 11 children, and 9 of them survived to adulthood, and all 9 of them went to college. You've
Wow.
got to understand, this is the first generation of my family born outside of slavery, and they all went to college. What this book tries to do, what my mother tries to do, is to tell the story of the black middle class, when the stereotypical notion of black folks is that they're poor, they come from the rural South, that they're, you know, on welfare or this, but there's this huge swath of black America that was educated, that were the preachers and the lawyers and the doctors, the teachers and the principals in these segregated communities. You needed these leaders. You needed this educated part of the population to populate the segregated world. And she comes from that. And my great-grandfather, the slave, came out of that.
Well, we're going to take a break and talk more about the play. Before we do, I do want to have one more clip from 2007. And Ginger, this is actually you telling a story. You are talking about your parents trying to buy a house. And I think the situation tells and teaches us so much. So here you are.
There is a story in the book that I found interesting. And as the book's been republished, I don't think people understood the kinds of economic strains that black people were under. For example, my parents, like other middle-class parents, wanted to buy a house. But because we were black, we were not allowed to buy a house in the better neighborhoods, even though we could afford it. So in the end, we had to use subterfuge to buy a house. And that was true for most of our black friends. So
how do you mean subterfuge?
Well, we had to find, they kept trying to buy a house, but there were what they call racial covenants, meaning that there were laws on the deeds, they're embedded within the deeds were promises that the owner would not sell the home to someone of color or to Jews or any other disfavored minority. So in the end, my parents ended up building their own home. But even then it was difficult because they built their home, their dream home, in an integrated neighborhood, and nobody would, they couldn't buy the lot. So my mother went to a colleague of my father's who worked with him at McClellan and said, Hernley Madeira was his name, "Hern, I want to buy this lot, but they won't sell it to me. Will you buy it for me?" And Hernley Madeira, my father, my parents' white friend, said, "Sure, I will." And that's what he did. And that's how my parents were able to buy their home. I don't think most white people in Sacramento who were going about their lives were aware of the kinds of barriers that existed for blacks at that time, the economic barriers, the social barriers.
Eva, that must have been a very tough experience for you and your husband to have to ask a favor like that of white people you knew so that you could do something as basic and fundamental as build a home.
Yeah, but the white people were just as aware of the problem as we were. And we were very lucky that we were friends and that they could sympathize with us and not be afraid to buy the house for us. I think we were very lucky. We had very good friends, white and black.
Let's go back to Sacramento, 1952, and you are the first black family on your block. And that was the basis of the late Eva Rutland's memoir, at least part of it, which became a legendary story of the times. Eva's daughter Ginger has adapted it into a new play that premieres this Friday, August 21st, at Pioneer Congregational Church. It continues through Sunday, August 30th in the studio. Ginger is still here for the conversation. Hi, Ginger.
Hi, Beth.
Glad to have you here. Also in the studio, Maggie Adair Upton, the director of the play.
Thank you for inviting us, Beth.
Hi, yeah. Maggie. And Shauna M. James, the actor playing Eva.
Hi,
Shauna.
Good morning.
Well, I have to say, Shauna, you look nothing like Eva. Not in skin color, hair color, or age.
Yes, I am a lot younger than Eva, but it's actually interesting. Eva is a lighter color of African American, and I actually am as well. I am a mixed race girl, so to play Eva is such a profound honor because the struggles that she dealt with as a lighter skinned African American totally mirror my experience, even in 2015, as someone who was mixed race growing up in mm-hmm. California. So
I wondered. I looked at you and I thought, I have a suspicion here, but you're a much younger person. So
yes.
Touching on that experience of life that she talks about with just meeting integration and being very worried for her children, where did you reach to find that?
Yeah, I first encountered my African American identity when I was in middle school. I really never thought about it much. I thought that you were just black and you could say that. You know, you could just express who you are and that people would take that for as it is. And when I was in middle school, I started to get questioned, you know, because for some people, black looked a certain way. For some people, black was a certain color tone, and I didn't fit that. So for a while, I actually started to carry around a photo of my father, who is darker skinned, and my grandfather. And I started to really, you know, stand up for who I was because my African-American side is so important to me because I feel so connected to both sides of me, the white and the black. So to really encapture Eva, I actually had the privilege of knowing Eva. My grandmother was a good friend of Eva, so I grew up with her. And I really understood the way that she had to deal with being questioned and dealing with that sort of integration of who you are and identity. So I found just from knowing her and personal experience to be very helpful.
Maggie, this play is so important to Ginger as she's been discussing. And what was important to you in staging it and finding the right person to play Ginger, by the way?
Yes, that was a challenge. I will say about Shauna, though, that she is an actor and that this is a memory play. And therefore, it takes place at different times in Eva's life and Bill's and Ginger's. And Shauna is able to cross that line and be the young Eva, be the 90-year-old blind Eva. And it's really a treat to watch her mm-hmm. on stage. I thought it was just really important to have a play about these wonderful, accomplished people. The middle class black, not the ones that you hear about, unfortunately, on the news so much. And also it turned out that Eva is a mutual friend of so many friends of mine, though I never met her, so it was very special.
Would you share a little bit of a monologue, Shauna?
Yeah, absolutely. This is from earlier in Eva's life, so the character is much younger. And this is after a conversation about moving to Sacramento with her husband, Bill. Bill, you always call me a princess, tell me I know nothing about the real South. Well, let me tell you something. You weren't there when I came home one Christmas Eve to find my brothers all cut up and bleeding on the living room floor. I was what, maybe 16 years old? They had been attacked by some white hoodlums for no other reason than the color of their skin. You grew up in Detroit, so you missed the long walks past the white schools with all their fancy amenities to our shabby little black schools. You never had to fight your way to the back of the bus or make that long, humiliating climb up to the filthy balcony to see a movie, Princess My Blackfoot. By the time I was 10, I was expected and regularly did prepare dinner for the whole family. The greens, tomatoes, onions, and snap peas all came straight from our garden, and I had to go out and pick it before I could cook it. I was the hardest working princess you ever knew, and I have no illusions about the South, but I dearly love Atlanta. In the tight circle of friends and family in which I lived, I was loved and protected and, yes, cherished even. And that's what I want for our children. Can't you see that, Bill? Thank you.
The play is When We Were Colored. That is Shauna M. James. Is it coming alive in a different way for you, Ginger, seeing it up on stage?
It is coming alive. I think I have three marvelous actors. Brooklyn Solomon plays Ginger, I think, better than Ginger could play Ginger herself. Kelton Howard plays my father, Bill, and to watch him be Bill is moving for me. Shauna is a close family friend. I babysat for Shauna's dad, right? Her grandmother babysat for me. They come out of the same Atlanta that my mother came out of. Her grandmother went to Spelman College. My mother went to Spelman. So it's she's part of that world, and it's great to see her in this role.
And in case anybody wonders, the stage and the setting at Pioneer Congregational is fabulous, isn't it?
It's a wonderful auditorium. They've just installed a whole brand new set of lights, and it's air conditioned, and it's very roomy. It's a wonderful space.
And there's free parking.
Free parking. Well, let's celebrate with thoughts of Eva today. And good luck, Ginger. I know this is personal and professional and spiritual for you all in one.
It is. It is very much. Maggie said it to me once. She said, this is really an homage to your mother. It is that. It's an homage to my mother and to my father and to this generation, this greatest generation of black folks, right, who survived the Depression, fought World War II, but also turned this country into what it is today, a fairer, better place.
Ginger Rutland, the play is When We Were Colored. It opens Friday and continues through August 30th. There's more information at capradio.org/insight. Maggie Adair Upton is the director, and Shauna M. James has the role of Ginger's mom, Eva. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.